In this episode here today, we're talking to Dan and Danny Hurley. They've both got three daughters at the school. Let's find out their experience of being parents at Broughton Manor Prep School.
Welcome to the Broughton Manor School podcast, Belong, Create and Achieve. This is the podcast where we speak to various people in the school community, from staff to pupils, parents to school alumni. Come with us as we get into this episode right now.
So Dan and Danny, welcome to this episode of the podcast. How are you both doing today?
Yes, very good. Thank you. You?
Very good indeed. Thanks. Very good. Great to have you both here. Danny, how are you doing today?
Yes, good. Thanks. Good.
Well, I appreciate you both giving up your time to be here. I'm sure that you're both very busy people and we're recording this during the day. And I'm presuming that your children are at school literally right now, which means this is a very precious time, child-free right now. So double appreciating you both being here. First up, for the sake of people listening, can you tell us about how many children you have and which year groups they're in?
Okay, yeah, we've got three girls. They are 9, 6, and almost 3. So the oldest is in year 4. The middle one's year 1, and the little one's at the nursery, going to start at the preschool in September.
Okay, right. So a good spread then. Age 9, age 6, age 3. Anyone who's a mathematician will love that 3, 6, 9 sequence of numbers.
I know, it makes me happy.
Danny, what do you do for a living?
I'm a paediatric nurse.
Okay, and Dan, what do you do?
Work in digital forensics, actually.
Digital forensics? Wow. Okay, so paediatric nurse, I don't know a great deal about that, apart from the fact that that involves children. So you have children at home, Danny, and you have children at work, is that right?
Yes, yeah. All day with kids. I'm relatively patient.
Okay, all right. Right, well, I'm very impressed about that. Dan, tell me a little bit about your work as well.
Yeah, so digital forensic work, basically recovering data and anything held on computers, phones, even cars or drones, whatever you can imagine, really. It's electronic that holds data.
Interesting, interesting. I don't fully understand that, but it sounds to me like you're enjoying it, so that's a really good thing.
I do, I love it. Yeah, I do.
Okay, great. Tell me about your experience then, both of you, when you were choosing a school, I presume for your 9-year-old, first of all. Tell me about that experience and how you ended up at Broughton Manor Prep.
So our oldest, she started at the local preschool, and we really enjoyed the preschool. And then when it was moving into reception, she was quite quiet at the time, and it was just so many children in one room. It was like 90 4- and 5-year-olds in this giant room. And we just thought, this just isn't going to work for us and for her. So we looked around. Well, we didn't really look that far, did we? We'd heard good things about the school, called up and had a walk round, and were just immediately sold on the walk round. I don't know if it was the facilities or it was Mrs. Pugh that we were sort of chatting to the most. And it just looked so lovely when we walked round, the class sizes as well. I think it was the music room and the art room. They were the two rooms and the little library that stood out to me, that I thought, this is just such a lovely place. I would have loved to have come to school here. And the class sizes are obviously great compared to what we were about to send her to then there was sort of 12, 13, 14 kids in the class, to this big room that she was meant to go to. And that was the selling point. And then once she thrived there, there was just really no doubt about sending the other two there.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I imagine that if the oldest one goes there and has a good time or a good experience, and if you have a good experience, then it makes perfect sense that the other two will follow on. But of course, we can't ignore that there is a cost involved in sending children to an independent school. Had you always considered that independent education was going to be the route for your children, or was that news to you once you had your first experience of sending her to school?
No, I don't really think it would have been on our radar. Like, neither of us went to independent schools. Yeah, it really hadn't crossed my mind. Only we had a friend whose child went to the school and just said, just go and look, like, you'll be swayed. And I think I was probably more reserved than you in it. I think, I don't know, just maybe working for the NHS, I was very much like public services. We need to stay in the regular schools, really. But actually, once we looked around, it really did sway us, didn't it?
Dan, tell me about your experience then, or your feeling of independent education before any of your children went.
I hadn't really considered it, to be totally honest. Like Danny just said, it was really when our oldest was going into reception, and then there was this large shared area of 3 classes worth of kids. It was like 90 children in one area. And it was, I don't know, I just thought it's so strange. We just chose to look somewhere else. And like Danny said, as soon as we walked in the door, the feel of the place. Yeah, it was just, we were just completely swayed straight away, to be honest.
Tell me more about that feeling that you had when you walked through the door. Because some people do say that choosing the right school for your children is a bit like choosing a home. And you can look on the website, you can find out facts and figures, but it's only when you walk through the door and actually feel it that you know whether it's the right school or not the right school. So tell me more about the feelings that both of you had when you walked through the door and when you were given a tour around.
I think it was just really welcoming. I like that there's so much like the children's artwork on the walls. I don't know, everybody seems to know each other. The teachers all know all the children's names throughout the years. Just sort of, it's quite sort of very family orientated and it feels like quite a community. I do like that side of it. There's always a teacher on things like Now We Know, but there's always a few teachers on the front door and they welcome the girls by name. And I just think that's such a nice touch for, I mean, we feel reassured as parents sending them there, but then for the girls going in, especially our youngest, sometimes she gets a bit upset on the front door, but they all know her by name and it's much more welcoming for her. She's much happier to go through the door that these people know us. I think that side of it is lovely. You might get that at other schools, but I just think it's probably not quite the same because it's the small school and that's how everybody knows each other, I think.
So just for the sake of anyone that's listening to this who maybe hasn't been inside the school, maybe they haven't had a tour, just tell us a little bit about what kind of things happen, what sort of things your daughters go through on a typical school day.
Okay, yeah, obviously they're all at very different ages and different stages. But when our oldest first started there, it was play and learning, but it was structured so well that she didn't, sounds daft, but didn't really know she was learning things because it was so fun. And that was a sort of good foundation, really, and then sort of built on that. And now, obviously, she's in the prep. She's just got a, I don't know, just loves learning and loves being at school and loves being with her friends and loves learning things, which is, I think if you can teach the kids to enjoy learning, that's half the battle, I think.
And then, you know, part of school is learning. Part of school, of course, is turning young children into slightly older children. How do you see each of your children developing as people as they get a little bit older and go through the school years?
I find that they're quite good in picking out what they're good at. So our middle one is quite creative. She likes music. She likes art. And they're the bit she seems to take out of the school day is she'll talk a little bit about the more sort of academic, like her, like maths and bits briefly. But the things that always stand out to her are the creative side of it. We did this in drama, music, you know, when they're doing art. So I think there's, it's such a broad curriculum. There seems to be enough for them to take what they're good at and run with it. Where our oldest, she does like arts and they're all a bit sporty, but she is much more, she likes maths. She likes the sciences as well as music. So she will tell us all about her maths lesson, the middle one, not so much. She'll tell us all about anything they did that was creative, really.
Danny, would you say that you're more creative or more mathematical yourself?
Mathematical. Dan's much more creative than me.
Really? I would have thought with Dan's work, he'd be more mathematical.
Yeah, no, I don't know how that's come to be. But yeah, my excelling sort of studies at school were art and drama and that sort of thing. So I don't know how I've ended up where I am, but there we go.
Interesting.
Mine was much more maths and science. I like a fact. I like things to be right and wrong. But you're more musical as well. They all like music and that's definitely from you, definitely not me.
And of course, with your youngest, she's still just 3 years old. Any indication yet as to whether she's more creative or more analytical?
I don't know. Yeah, she'll be three in May and she tends to just sort of be led by the others, doesn't she? She is always dancing and singing, but then also wants to play football. So maybe she's going to be the sporty one of the three. I don't know. Yeah, she's still finding her path at the moment, but some days she's a bit tired, I think. It's a lot. They do work them hard. So she's tired at the end of term being little. But she enjoys it, going in and talks to us about her day, doesn't she, and her friends. Yeah, even that little, we're only like not even three, they still have a theme that they're running with. I think they've been doing sea creatures or sea animals, something like that at the moment. And she's been coming home telling us all about animals that live in the cold and that sort of thing, which I think is amazing at so little. You know, she's not even three yet and she's doesn't realize she's learning. She's talking about how they were playing with ice and animals in it and how they've been painting, but she's learned all about the animals that live in the Arctic and things. It's amazing.
Now, you've mentioned that with all three of your children, they seem to enjoy sport. Tell me a little bit about the sport provision that you've witnessed that's happening there at school.
The middle one, she talks about like that she just does the PE really in the sports clubs. But the older one, she really enjoys the fixtures that they go on. She seems to like it all really. The hockey, they do hockey in one term, then netball, then they for the girls, and then they all do cricket in the summer and some athletics, I think. I can't remember if they go on any fixtures for that, but she loves it. And I know that was something she was a bit apprehensive about moving into the prep. She liked the sports side of it, but the thought of going on the fixtures, she wasn't sure about that. But now, oh, she loves it. She'll take her kit in just in case someone's sick, even when it's not her turn, because she's desperate to be the backup and go. Yeah, and she's never that bothered whether they... She's quite competitive, isn't she? But whether they win or lose, it's more that we went there, we had tea, we went on the coach. That's the... They just sort of like that whole bit of being together in the sports side of it.
Are you too sporty at all when you're not at work?
I was when I was younger. I wish I was more now, but no, when I was younger, yes.
Dan, how about you? I could see you chuckling when I just mentioned that.
Definitely not. No, I could be less sporty if I tried, to be honest. The only sport I follow is Formula One, which isn't, sitting in the car. So no. Nothing at all, I'm afraid.
No, very good, very good. Now, both of you have mentioned an interesting phrase, is that your children have been learning without realizing that they were learning. I forget the exact words that you used. Tell me a bit about how you feel like learning should be fun when children are in school. And I think most people agree that learning should be fun, because otherwise it makes it really hard work. But tell me a bit about why you feel that, or what your experience is of that.
Yeah, well, a good example is our middle one is more recently they've been doing about the Pride of London. A lot of the activities that they do to learn about it are practical things, so including sort of arts and crafts and this sort of thing, as well as learning facts. And she's just come home bursting with facts about things. I've learned more about the Fire of London than I've ever known in my life, to be honest. She's but again, because they've made it fun, they've made it practical. You know, I'm not a teacher, I don't know how to teach, but yeah, it's definitely sinking in with her, definitely.
I remember I think it was the older one, she came home when she was younger, maybe 5 or 6, and she's just talking about the excitement of having clipboards. They'd walked around the school with clipboards, and that's all she kept talking about. We had a clipboard each, and then when we said, what are we doing with the clipboards? And then without her realizing, they'd learned all about the senses, and they'd walked around the school and learned and be writing down what they could smell and hear, and she just learned all about all the senses and things around the school, but the clipboard was the thing. But then she was able to list off what your ears do, what this does, and I thought, that's so clever, because that's what she didn't know. She had learned all that, she'd taken it all in, but yeah, was sold on the clipboard was the highlight of the day that she came home to tell us about. And I think that's a good teacher. They've just had so much fun but learned so much. Like you said, we could never be teachers, so I don't know how they do it.
I love that. I really do. If a child's in doubt, just give them a clipboard. Sounds like they may well be happy just from that.
Well, ours are. I don't know if all of them, but yeah, as are easily pleased.
Tell me, the pair of you, what it's like being on the receiving end of any kind of communication from school. How do you find that the teachers in school keep you informed as parents of your children?
Yeah, I think it started in COVID. We get the weekly emails from the teachers, don't we, on a Friday. Get a little summary of the week, of what they've been up to, who got star of the week, little reminders for the next week. That's quite nice. They do email back straight away if you have to email about anything, the class teachers. And then Mrs. Pugh, I don't know. I think we go to Mrs. Pugh for everything. I think a lot of people do. She's the go-to.
There's a weekly newsletter as well that we get every week. So at the end of the week, obviously that's there. So yeah, the communication's amazing, to be honest. We get so much from them. Kind of when it comes around to parents' evening, you know, we do go, obviously, but I feel like if there's anything that's ever needs to come up or be raised, then it would have by now.
So in other words, you kind of get no shocks at all at the parents' evening, because, you know, you find that the communication is pretty solid anyway.
Yeah, you can be in constant communication, if you like, with the teacher. I mean, they literally personally email you a weekly update. So, you know, you've got their email address and their contact. They all say that they're contactable. So yeah, so it's brilliant, yeah.
And of course, the school's a little bit unusual in that it's got two head teachers in the school, and both head teachers being a married couple as well. How do you find that works as parents?
I don't know that it makes any difference, really. Then other having like a head and a deputy head, it's just that instead of a head and a deputy, you just have the two heads. And, you know, the girls know them both. Mr. Smith would even go to the nursery. So our youngest one even knew him from the nursery. And they're often at the door welcoming them to the, you know, the day. Yeah, it's amazing.
So it sounds to me like the pair of you are both quite heavily involved in parent life. It's not like one of you is always at work and the other one is just the only one doing either the morning drop-off or the afternoon pickup. How do you find integrating and connecting with other parents in the school community?
Yeah, good. I think you're kind of at birthday parties and that sort of thing outside of school is where you tend to see people. And whilst they're off doing the trampoline park or whatever they are for 2 hours, then you sort of mingle with the parents. So I feel like we're probably closer to the old ones' parents naturally because we've known them for longer. But we've all got parents sort of WhatsApp group for every year now, haven't we? Yeah. Apart from the little one, but I think we'll start that up. And there's a PTA now as well that's been set up, so that's quite good. On that, if anybody wants to join that, they can come and get stuck in on the PTA. Big shout out to that.
Love that. Dan, tell me what your involvement is then in the PTA.
We haven't been sort of dedicated roles as such. Mr. Smith's been sort of leading it for the moment. But yeah, we're just trying to get together. And it is a slightly unusual PTA, I guess, to a traditional school because obviously we're not raising funds for the school. That would be, yeah, you can't really do that for an independent school, I guess. But it's going to be raising money and supporting the school's chosen charity that the kids have chosen. So, yeah, so that's quite good. And again, it's that doing those things that bring parents together and try and socialise and do that sort of work as well. So, yeah, that's the idea.
Dan, it's amazing that you're doing that, given that I imagine you have a busy job. You're both working parents. You have three children. So I imagine that you don't have too much free time or available time to give up to do something like this. So I'm sure that everybody appreciates you being generous with that. Tell me a little bit about the friends that you have maybe outside of school. I'm thinking about any friends of yours maybe who send their children to a school or their child to a school. Maybe it's not an independent school. Maybe it's a mainstream state school. And I'd love to understand the differences that you feel that you have or the differences that you experience when you're talking to them about how their children are going through education.
I think during COVID, that was probably quite apparent, wasn't it? Our oldest was only in reception then. We'd only just moved her, actually. And I mean, obviously, it was across the country, it was just the sudden lockdown. So for only a few days, we had sort of emails and communication, and then there was learning packs left at the front door for everyone to collect with labelled for your child. And then very quickly there was an online timetable with the teachers. And I know other friends who had their children in state schools didn't have that, especially in that first lockdown, once it became the norm further throughout that year. But straight away we had PE lessons in the lounge and everything, music. And it was, yeah, it was quite incredible, really. It wasn't just a quick catch up with the form teacher. There was a full timetable. It was a lot, wasn't it, to try and log on. And we were obviously trying to work. And I know everyone was doing that, but it kept them busy. And I don't feel like they've suffered, really, where other friends have said they noticed their children that were at that. Maybe it's any age, but that crucial age where you're learning how to learn in reception year one, they missed that because they were at home just playing for months. And I feel like she didn't miss that, really, because there was so much work. And the younger one, the middle one, then she joined in as well. She was only two-ish, I think, then, wasn't she? But she quite liked it, having to do her lessons with as well, just jumping on. That's, I think, the biggest difference I remember.
Dan, is there anything you wanted to add to that at all?
No, definitely just the same thing, really. No, not really. I mean, I know we keep going on, but we've mentioned it before about the class sizes, but that's something that just always comes back to me about, a state school versus Broughton Manor is the class sizes are a massive, massive thing for me. And it's a funny school because the school almost feels like, to me, like a friendly sort of community, like a village school almost, where everybody knows each other. You can't say the same, I don't think, of a lot of the state schools.
Because we pick up and drop off at different times. You don't do that school gate parent, like you all waiting at the school gates like you see in other schools, because it's the wraparound care's so long and everyone's picking up and bopping in and out. So you don't do that. But I feel like we still do know the parents because there's quite a few events, isn't there? Like you said, the birthday parties and the way they split the years up, I like as well. So they have, they put them by age because there's quite, when you're little, there's a big difference from those who are September birthdays to August when you're small. So they have beginning of the year and end of the year classes. So all your birthday parties are together. You have 6 months of back-to-back birthday parties and then none for ages. But there is other events, isn't there? Like we've just been today to the Easter bonnet parade, which was very cute for the two younger ones. And so you see people then. I think they put a lot on the school, don't they?
And Dan, what last question. What would you suggest to anybody who's got younger children? Maybe they're thinking about which school to send their children to. What would you suggest to them that they do in order to find the right school for them?
I would just say, look round. Cause like you said, there's just a feeling, isn't there? We learned before with sending one of ours to a nursery that we thought on the outside looked great. It was shiny and new. And we thought, oh, this is amazing. The facilities here. And it just wasn't right. And then again, we moved over to the nursery at Broughton Manor and just immediately walked in and she was happy. And I think taking your kids for the walk round, because we could tell straight away that the girls enjoyed it there. We're like, this is right for them. I would just say look round and speak to other families and see how the kids are in the day. They have the open days, don't they? But I know that they also have times when the school's open, and I think that's probably crucial to see how the children are during the school day.
Yeah, same really. Go and visit it. Go and have a look around. You know, it's the only way, like you said, is to get a feel for the place and feel for the people. When we went for the first look around before we sent our oldest there, actually, obviously, Mrs. Pugh, shout out to Mrs. Pugh, showed us round. We did meet the head then as well, didn't we? And he made time to come and say hello to us and, you know, speak to us. And yeah, just go and visit the school.
Awesome. Well, look, Danny, I'm keeping an eye on the time. We're going to need to bring this episode to a close soon. But the pair of you, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. It's been really good talking to you to find out your experience of being parents at the school. So thank you so much for your time.
That's all right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
So that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to find out any more information about the school, then do check out the website. But in the meantime, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.